Today, we're going to welcome 6 new members, 4 of whom are being baptized. The other 2 have already been baptized. And we're going to take a little bit of time today to ask, baptism, what is this and what does it do? In the most literal, plain description I can have, it's when people who have said yes to faith in Jesus are immersed in water. Sometimes, like I said, they have it sprinkled or have it poured on them. But today we're going to be immersing 4 people, Lord willing, Alex and Cooley, Abigail and Magisa, into the water behind me. And we're doing this in part because God commanded us to. Jesus told us, he said, as you are going and making disciples, we're to baptize them and to teach them everything that he has taught us. If you ask our baptismal candidates why we're doing this, they would probably say something like it's a commitment of their lives, that they're placing themselves into the waters of baptism to say publicly that no matter what comes, that they are with Jesus. They're following him as their Lord and Savior, and that's what they want. As I said before, baptism does not save, but it is this act we are given by Scripture to do once we come to be saved by faith in Jesus. It represents this faith we're saved into. So what does this mean, saved by faith in Jesus? Well, we have the story of God working out salvation for us. And it goes something like this, that God made all things and creatures, and God called his creation good. And in God's creation, all was well and right. We dwelt with God and worked with God and played with God and rested with God. That in baptism, we see this creation, that what God is doing, a faith story that starts there. But sin and disobedience came in by our first parents. And where there was once closeness, where there was this joy of life and a goodness, there's now separation and death and evil. But God, out of his great love for us, out of his grace for us, was faithful to his people even when we are not. And so God got to work to make a way to bring us back together, to unite us again, overcoming sin and death and evil which destroys and separates and taints. After God came to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt, that's been our preaching series so far this year, God commissions a tabernacle, a tent where God's presence could rest as a sign of his presence, and people could get closer. And the middle of this tabernacle was the most holy place. And there God's glory and presence came to reside. And it's incredible, incredible that God is in their midst, but there is still this barrier. There's sin. And even with sin sacrificed by the blood of animals, it's only a temporary coverage. If you were to read ahead of our scripture reading in Hebrews 10, you would hear lots of that from about Hebrews 9 on, how daily sacrifices were made, and yet it's needed again and again and again. And even then, with these sacrifices, even with the assurance of God's presence, God's people can't really ever enter that most holy place. There was a curtain in the way. An admission to the most holy place was reserved for one person with one particular role on a particular day after one particular sacrifice. And so the people of God praise God that God's with them, yet there is this longing to be closer to God, a longing that Scripture nurtures, that a time is coming when the glory of the Lord, when his presence will fill the earth, and all may enter his presence, his most holy place, and know him and be known by him. This day began when God himself came and took on our nature, our condition, our humanity, and was born and named Jesus. Jesus, fully God and fully human, came to teach and show and make possible that in him God's rule and restoration of creation is underway, that the kingdom of God is beginning now, right there in his midst. And this separation that we have with God, how even then could we embrace a holy God? As people, we try so many things to deal with our sin. I pretend, I cover up, I hide. Maybe I try self-improvement. I try to keep rules and I fail. And when I don't like those rules, when they bug me too much, sometimes I change them in my head and think they don't matter. But all of it doesn't make me right with God. It doesn't make me with God, be one with God again. But as our reading from Hebrews points out, there is a way. A way that leads to glory and goodness and victory, but this way would come in suffering and death by the cross. That Jesus, who is human, who is like us in every way, yet without sin, could undertake this and bear the penalty and the cost of sin. It would take the shedding of his blood. It would take his body. It would kill him. But being God, death could not hold him. Sin could not keep him. Evil would not win. Instead, he rose again to new life. Now all who see in Jesus the coming of God's good news, of his forgiveness, of his love and his grace, of his bringing about the kingdom, the rule of God, well, we can be forgiven by his cross and made near to God by his resurrection life. So when we say yes to faith in Jesus, we are saying yes to that being true. We are saying yes that Jesus is God and Lord. We are saying yes that Jesus rules my life too. We are saying that Jesus is the only one who can save. We are saying that Jesus has our allegiance. We are saying yes that our faith, our way of life is founded on his faith and follows his life. That we can be part of Team Jesus, his people, on mission with him and his kingdom. We are saying no longer does our sin keep us from God. It's been washed clean. No longer do we have to skulk and hide with God. No, we can be bold and confident to go right up to God because he has come so near to us. We are saying we have a new life, a fresh start. We're a new kind of people who by grace have received the greatest gift, life with God. We are saying by grace then, even in the worst of times, in our doubts and our fears and our trials and temptations, we can hold fast because we see that Jesus has been faithful, how God keeps his promises. We can hold fast because God holds us. And saying yes to faith in Jesus, we're saying, God, you can use me. I'm no longer my own. I'm yours. We're saying, Jesus, get to work, please. Clean me up. Sort me out. And Lord, put me to use. Let everything I do be to show your love and your good deeds. We are saying, when we say yes to faith in Jesus, that we love to be with his people, his church, his beloved ones. That's what saying yes to faith in Jesus is all about. That is what baptism is a sign of. It does not save, but it points to the saving one. It does not clean, but points to the one who can forgive and the great loving cost of his forgiveness. Baptism is us taking the next step of faith and saying publicly, definitively, that for all of life, what began when we first said yes to Jesus is now our way of life. We're his, we're forgiven, we're cleaned up and set apart for his purpose. And we can do all of this because the Spirit is poured into us. We're saying, God, come and make me your tabernacle. Make me a dwelling place where people can encounter God in me by your love and good deeds. And because baptism is putting ourselves in obedience, in trust into God's hands, because it is us saying, I am here, God, I am yours, I'm all in. Because baptism reveals in the waters of forgiveness and death and the resurrection and the Spirit-filled love, life, because our baptism points us to who our God is, who's come near, and that this is also for all. I know it's a symbolic act, but I think in baptism, in this obedient declaration to our God, that he comes and meets us, and graces us. So there is grace here in baptism. For you, Alex, where are you, Alex? There you are. And Cooley and Abigail and Magisa. Where are you, Magisa? Yeah, there you are. From this point on, after you are baptized, you will have a lived experience, a God-ordained and blessed way of saying, this is how I want to communicate who I am and the life I have for you. You will have a tangible expression of God's presence and life for you. From this point on, you are baptized. That's who you are. There is grace and encouragement and mission and confidence that God is for you and with you. For us who have said yes to Jesus, but have not been baptized, there is a grace, I hope, that will spark in you a call to join in. And for us who have been baptized, I pray it is a gracious reminder of the commitments we have made. A reminder also of the greater commitment Jesus has made to you. And for those of us who are here and have not said yes to Jesus, I pray that in these 6 testimonies and 4 baptisms, the Spirit would reveal his goodness, his great joy, that you too can be forgiven, given a fresh start, welcomed home into the embrace of God with confidence and assurance. May the lives of these 6 people, their words, and the act of these 4 baptisms, and all that represents and communicates, provoke us also then to love and good deeds as we see Christ at work and those being baptized today. Are you ready? Let's go. Amen.